Well, I'm thrilled that you're here. Otherwise, I'd be talking to myself. So I'm glad you're here to listen and to absorb and to be healed. We're going to talk about divine healing. I'm not an artist. I just draw anyway, as you know. You will know if you haven't seen me draw before. I want to tell you the difference in divine healing and medical healing so that we'll all be jumping off on the same platform from the same diving board. Now, you're a spirit being. You live in a physical body. This spirit man is either lost or saved. I like to draw him this way. This man is lost. Has the nature of Satan. Now look, this spirit man is born again. Has the nature of God. Has eternal life. Eternal life doesn't mean to live forever. You know, the sinner's going to live forever, but he doesn't have eternal life. Eternal life means to have the nature of the eternal one. So this man has the nature of the eternal one. Now, when we talk about medical healing, doctors are working from the outside, working with the physical body, coordinating what they do with the laws of nature as they understand them. Medical healing is a wonderful thing. We're for medical healing. We're for doctors and surgeries and prescriptions and anything that works for you to bring you out of sickness into health. But medical healing is severely limited. It doesn't always work. You can give two people with the same disease, the same identical symptoms, the same prescription. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Now, we're not talking about medical healing. Medical healing comes from the outside. The doctor's working only with the physical body. You're a spirit being. Your spirit man is born again. And divine healing comes from the inside out. Now, this is very important because so many times hands are laid on you and you say, well, I'm not healed. I don't feel anything. Well, it begins in the spirit. You're not going to feel it when it begins. Is that good news or what? It's working. It's working. The Word of God is working. It's working. Said He sent His Word. He sent His Word. He sent His Word and healed you. And the Word works from the Spirit from the inside out. So in spite of the fact that you don't feel any different, don't look any different, you may still have your symptoms, may still be struggling with pain. If you're putting the Word in, the Word is working. And one day that spirit man is going to be full of the Word of the living God. It's going to burst out of there and your body's going to say, hey, hey, something's happening here. Now that may take 24 hours. It may take 24 weeks. I don't know, but it will work. God's Word always works. Medical science and the intervention of medical science may work. Most of us would be dead today if it didn't work. We've depended on medical science. But as we lean on God, we lean on the power of heaven, and always works. Always works. And from the inside out, you begin to amend. So what we're doing is going to put the Word of God in you over these next 5 sessions so that you have something on the inside and you can know what you have on the inside is going to come to the outside. It is going to work in your mortal body, in your mortal flesh. Now, we're going to talk tonight about the origin of sickness and disease. Where did it come from? Look at Romans chapter 5. If you didn't bring your Bible, I assume you have it memorized. Is that right? So I'll trust you to bring it next week. Romans chapter 5. We're going to put some word on the inside. Now, we teach overseas. We teach healing for 40 to 60 hours. Obviously, there's a lot you can say in 40 hours I'm not going to be able to say in 5. But do I ever have good news for you? The day I got saved, all I knew was Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I got saved on that one little sentence. I didn't know a lot. Didn't know I was going to be a new creature. Didn't know I was going to have eternal life. Didn't know eternal life was possessing the nature of God. Didn't know old things were passed away. Didn't know anything about the shed blood. Yet I got saved. It doesn't take a lot of knowledge to get saved, and it's not going to take a lot of knowledge to get healed. It just takes something on the inside. Something where? Where are you putting it? Where is it going? It's going inside. You put something on the inside and the Word of God works mightily. It will begin to work from the inside into your flesh and into your mind. If you have mental struggles of any sort, the Word of God works for the mind. The mind can be plagued just like the body. And the Word of God always works. Now we'll talk about where disease came from, and it's a relief to us. This is knowledge helps me so much. Look at verse 12 of chapter 5. I can talk really fast, but you don't have to worry about it. I'll repeat it to you. You just turn up your ears on high speed, okay? Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, as by one man sin entered, who would that one man be? It would be Adam. By Adam, sin entered the world, and death by sin. Now that's the part, as you turn to Genesis, I want you to remember. Death came through how? Came through what?
Sin.
Death came by sin. Adam sinned, opened the door of our world to death. Now look at Genesis. When God created man, he gave man a command. It wasn't a threat. Genesis chapter 2. Verse 15, the Lord God took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it, to keep it. Adam had work to do. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day you eat, you shall surely die. Now don't misinterpret that. God wasn't saying, if you eat that tree, I'm going to kill you. That's not what he said at all. You know, he told Noah, you're going to need a boat. There's going to be a flood. God is a God of warning. A God who lets you know what's coming because he wants to rescue you and deliver you. He wants to set you free. He wants you to know what's happening. And he's simply commanding Adam not to eat because he says, Adam, if you do eat, Adam has free choice. He can eat. And as you know, he did. If you do eat, you will die. Now, do you notice it says, in the day you eat? When is he going to die? When is he going to die? The day he eats. But he didn't. I said he didn't. Now, is God a liar? We misunderstood something. As by one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. By one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. Now, there are several kinds of death. Death seems to me separation. Physical death is separation from your body. It's separation from earth, separation from your family. Death does not mean to cease to exist. No man ceases to exist. Everybody is somewhere. Either in heaven or in hell, either with the Lord or in place of punishment. You do not cease to exist. The spirit man is eternal. And that's good news. But death means to be separated. Now, when he said to Adam, in the day you eat, that very day you will die. It's like you put your hand on the stove, the very minute you put your hand on that burner, you'll feel the heat, you will be burned, you will be injured. But this is talking about spiritual death. Separation from God, separation from fellowship with God. He said, if you do eat, you'll be separated from God. Well, we know that because Adam knew that instantly and he hid. And God called, where are you? Do you think he didn't know where Adam was? Oh, no, he knew where he was. He wanted Adam to know. And Adam said, I hid myself. Sin always hides from God. But Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin did leave a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Now look. Sin. One man's sin entered the world. Once sin entered the world, spiritual death became a part of our world, our separation from God. For all have sinned, and all that have sinned, the wages of sin is death. Not physical death, but spiritual death. Now, when you come to Genesis chapter 3, to the punishment, to the judgment that came upon man because of sin, he said to Adam, dust you are, and unto dust you shall return. So out of spiritual death, springing up out of spiritual death was what? Physical death. Do you realize there had been no physical death in the Garden of Eden? Physical death was a result of sin. 1 Corinthians 15 says physical death is an enemy, the last enemy that shall be put underfoot. Now, those who teach that you're redeemed from these curses, these judgments for sin, physical death, travail of childbirth, and poverty that are mentioned here. You are redeemed, but you're not redeemed from physical death. There comes a day when physical death will be put underfoot, but it's not today. Unless Jesus comes, in order to get to the place of blessing, you have to go through the door of death. And it's not a door to be afraid of. Be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. You should run for it with all your might. Heaven's home. It's where God is. It's our eternal reward. It's a blessing. Well, he said to Adam, in the day you eat, you shall die. Now, after that, Adam lived about 930 years. That's in Genesis chapter 5. He lived over 800 years, we figure, after Cain killed Abel, and they had another son, the son of blessing, the son that was of the righteous line. His name was Seth, and he's mentioned in Genesis chapter 5. So he died that day, but he died and he was now separated from God. Now look at Genesis 3 and let's read this verse so you will see it. There are three main things mentioned here that came as a result of sin. One is in verse 19, in the sweat of your face you'll eat bread. In other words, you'll have to work for your money. Do you know that law still is in order? Have you noticed that? Nobody gives you anything much. You have to work for it. It's the law that came because of sin. That same verse is, dust you are, and to dust you shall return. That's physical death. Now, if I said we're going to have baked potato, what accompanies baked potato? All of the above, if I'm eating it. Butter, sour cream, chives, let's throw in the bacon. If I say sweet potatoes, what accompanies sweet potatoes? If I say peanut butter. Always a rebel in the group. Did y'all hear that? What accompanies physical death most of the time? Huh? And so I ran out of room, so I put it back here. Disease. Doesn't it? So where did disease come from? It came from sin. So if we have a remedy for sin, we're going to have a remedy for disease, because disease sprang from sin. So if the cross is a remedy for sin, the cross is a remedy for disease. Now, I can prove that to you several ways. Now, when we read Genesis chapter 1, I can tell you there was no disease there. It's very easy to figure out. Because every now and then, God would look around at what he had made, and he would say, it's good. He didn't say it was almost good. It could have been good. It should have been good. Oh, I wish that flu hadn't been here. I wish that mosquito hadn't been flying around trying to bite anybody. He said, no, this is good. He said it on the third day, and the fourth day, and the fifth day, and the sixth day. And after the sixth day, he looked around and he said, this is very good. I know there was no disease there. Before sin, there was no spiritual death, no physical death, no disease. Disease sprang from sin. Now here's the question. If you have an illness, does that mean that you have sinned? Maybe, maybe not. Now look at James. This is kind of like Alka-Seltzer. Oh, what a relief it is. Sin is here. Death is here. Disease is here because of Adam. Final chapter of James, verse 14. Well, we're at verse 15. We'll cut to the chase. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Doesn't say it might, it could. I hope it will be. What does it say? It will. We need to take God at his word. The prayer of faith, what? The Lord shall raise him up. And what if? You see that if? Underline that. If he's committed sins. If he's committed sins. If he has. Now, if I go from man to man all over town, I'll get some strange disease, and I'm going to be hard-pressed to blame that on Adam. You get my drift. Now, sin brought sickness into our world. Sickness is here. I can bring it into my life through sin, but I might just bump into a germ too. Bumbling through life, stuff happens. The physical body is mortal, and stuff happens. If my disease is because of my sin, I'm going to know that. Don't give me the maybe I've done something wrong. If you've done something wrong, your heart works, your conscience works, you're going to know it. If you don't know it, forget it. Nothing keeps healing from happening any greater than a guilty conscience. Throw the maybes out. Throw them out. Get rid of them. And if I have done something wrong, if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me. And that isn't the end of it. And to cleanse me. So the minute I realize that I brought this on myself by going from man to man or woman to woman, and I confess that, now I'm ready for my healing. Now in the Gospels, look at the book of John. Let me show you two examples. John chapter 5. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed as white as snow. Now, John chapter 5, Jesus brought healing to this man who had been sick 38 years. Verse 5 tells us that. And then the Jews ask him how he got his healing, who healed him, and he said, I don't know. He didn't have a clue. So it wasn't healing by faith, it was the gift of healing. You come down to verse 14. Jesus finds him. After they had interrogated him, asked him how he got his healing, he says, I don't know. Jesus finds him and says, behold, you are made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. So sin had opened the door for sickness in his life. That didn't have anything to do with my life. It doesn't have anything to do with your life. It has to do with this man and his life. And how wonderful God is that don't do that again. Don't you love that? Don't you love that? I love that. He says, don't do that again. Now, if you look to John chapter 9, here's the opposite example. Adam's sin brought disease into our world. Sin brings spiritual death. Spiritual death brought physical death. Physical death is accompanied by disease, by sickness. But it doesn't have anything to do whether or not you were right or where you were wrong. And if you were wrong, Jesus paid for you. And if you were right, he paid for you. He paid. He paid. Jesus paid it all. Now they said, assuming that everybody that's sick has sinned. That was their assumption. Verse 2. Master, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? They know somebody sinned, but you know it's not necessarily so. James says, if you sinned, if you did, means maybe I didn't. Jesus said what? Neither. What'd he say? Neither. Didn't have anything to do with sin. You know, sometimes people have a traffic accident and they're killed in an accident and they want to know how that happened. I can tell you how a lot of them happened. Somebody wasn't paying attention. You can't blame everything on God. You can't blame anything on God that's not good. You can't blame everything on the devil. The devil's not into everything. Some things where you weren't watching. It's just a matter of you weren't alert, you weren't paying attention. But the Lord is good and his mercy endures. Now, we know every good and perfect gift comes from above. Let me ask you, is disease good? Is it perfect?
No.
It doesn't come from above. What God sends is good and perfect. Every medical technician, even as ignorant as we are, I don't know much about medical science, can know that when something eats up your body, it can't be good and perfect. But Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Were y'all so young you weren't raised in the hymnal? Sin had left its crimson. He paid. You know why he paid? Because you couldn't. What good news is somebody do something for you that you needed done that you couldn't do for yourself? So the first thing we know, disease is bad. It comes through sin. Healing is good. Now the scripture gives us three words to describe disease. It gives us many, but three that I want to talk about. One, it says it's a curse. You know what a curse is? Anything's not a blessing. That's profound, isn't it? I can tell y'all had a hard day. Take a deep breath. This is my second class today. The other is, it's a bondage. And the other is, it's an oppression. Now that right away, just to see what the scripture says, tells us it's not good. Now when anything's a curse, it vexes, it harasses, it torments. You know, you tell your child you can't go next door to Marky's, and they say, oh, please, Mama, please, Mama, please, Mama, please, Mama, please, Mama, I'll be right back, please let me go, I'll be right back, and they harass you, and they torment you. They hang you over the fire, and they beg, and they plead, and that's what disease does. It comes to your body, it torments you, and it harasses you, it keeps hitting you in the belly, and hitting you behind the head, and it says, feel that, sense that. It says, you're going to die. You know what I say? I say, so what? I'm just a pilgrim here. Heaven is my home. Don't hang over my coffin and weep. Say, goodbye, world, goodbye. Because heaven is home. God is there. My mother's now there. My grandparents are both there. Heaven's home. I belong there. That's where I'm headed one day. But I'm going to finish my job on earth first. Don't let the devil torment you. Don't let disease torment you. Look it right in the face and say, so what? I think the devil ought to mind his own business, don't you? Instead of minding mine. Now, the curse is listed in Deuteronomy 28, and there are many, many diseases listed there, called by name. My favorite of the list of diseases that are mentioned in Deuteronomy is mildew. You know, the names of diseases has changed, and some of those diseases you can read and figure out, and some you can't. You know, consumption and some of the things. But when you get down to mildew, who knows what that was? How did she die? She mildewed. I taught this lesson one time, and someone had a relative that watched TV all day and never moved, and they said, I know where that's happening. But Christ has redeemed us from the curse. When Jesus came, sickness is a curse. It's not a blessing. It harasses, it vexes, it torments, it constricts, it binds, it ties, it oppresses, it overpowers. But Jesus came and paid. Jesus paid. Now, if I paid your electricity for the next 10 years and they sent you a receipt, your electricity is paid till 2018. At about 2013, they sent you a bill. All you need to clear that up is your receipt. All you need is your receipt. Now here is heaven's receipt. It says Jesus paid it all. He didn't pay for half. Now we'll discuss it in future weeks. A lot of things are said that aren't the truth. God's teaching you something. If God is trying to teach us something with sickness and disease, it's not working. You would think God would be intelligent enough to use a method that would work, because sick people are the poorest students on the face of the earth. Their blood pressure, their sugar level, all of their symptoms keeps them from absorbing the truth. I taught sick people for over 7 years, and sick people are poor students. It is not working, because it's not God. The Holy Ghost is the teacher of the church, not sickness and disease. Jesus paid for you to be free. He redeemed you from the curse. Now, when something's redeemed, we don't use that word. The only place I know that word, if you're under 50, you won't know, but we used to have the S&H green stamp, Redemption Center. And you'd take your stamps that they would give you when you bought groceries, you'd put them in a book, you'd get enough stamps, and you could go and trade your stamps for gifts. You redeemed those. And anytime you redeem something, you pay. But the redemption was not with money. When you go to buy a loaf of bread, you redeem that loaf of bread, they're going to charge you $2.39. When I first started this lesson, they were selling bread for 49 cents. I've been at it a long time. But the truth is still the truth. Now, once you go and pay for that loaf of bread, it belongs to you. No longer belongs to the grocery store. You paid for it. You redeemed it. And that bread set free from the bondage of the grocery store and now is in the liberty of your... I put my bread in the refrigerator because we don't eat too much. Wherever you put your bread. And that bread can sit in your kitchen and sing, free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, free at last. Because you paid. You paid. Jesus paid it all. Christ hath redeemed us. And here's what it doesn't say. That's Galatians 3:13. It doesn't say Christ will redeem you. It doesn't say He will. When I say I am going to be healed, what is it I'm expecting God to do for me? What has been left undone? What's missing? See, if I'm waiting on God, God's finished with His end of this. Jesus paid. He redeemed. He rescued. He delivered by the payment. Redeem means the deliverance by the payment of a price. It's the same as we'd use the word ransom. If I kidnapped your child and sent you a note, $1 million, you could have your child back. Well, if you kidnapped one of mine from me, and I'd have to say, sorry, you can keep them. there's no million yet in my household. But when you send that money and they bring that child back to you, you redeem that child, you paid. Jesus paid. He said, it's a curse. It vexes, it harasses, it torments. But Jesus paid. Now look at Galatians 3:13. And look carefully. God doesn't have to pay twice. When I look to God to do something, He's looking to me to receive what's already been done. He's not going to the cross again. He doesn't have to pay twice. He goes to the cross once. Now, we live out in a wooded area, and if you leave the front door open, there's no telling what you're going to have in the house. One day going down the halls when Joel was still living in the house, there was a belt in the middle of the hall. I thought it was a belt. I reached down to pick it up thinking, you would think those guys would learn to hang things up. I don't know why you guys are so sloppy. Do you have that experience? And when I went to pick it up, it went, I thought, oh, excuse me, just 1 minute. I said, I repent, Lord, I repent. It's not a belt. It's a snake. Well, we've had everything in the house. We have a lot of lizards, you know, they sneak in. Mosquitoes come in. We have opossums. Never had one in the house. We have raccoons that dump the garbage can over regularly. Our garbage can has double and triple bungees. To take the garbage out is a mean deal. I say, is it your turn? Is it my turn? I think, oh, hope it's not my turn. You got to undo all those bungees. You got to lift the lid. Because anything, you open the door and any of those creatures would come in your house. Sin, when the door of sin was open, anything that sin could do came into our world. And sickness and disease was one of the things that sin could do. And it came. But Jesus paid. Jesus paid. He paid. He paid. You've been redeemed. It says Christ hath redeemed us. That's in the past tense. Not he's going to do something. God is going to do. He's not going to do anything. He's finished. You know, there's only one instance in the New Testament where it has Christ sitting at standing at the Father's right hand, only one. He's always sitting. Always sitting. Why? Because he's not working right now. He's finished. Now, he's forever interceding. He's standing in our place as high priest, so he's very, very busy. But the work of the cross is finished. Satan has been fully and totally defeated. When Jesus died, he defeated Satan. One minister said he put him in prison, gave you the key, said, now you keep him there. And I love that. It's my job to know what was done and to keep him imprisoned, to know that my body is judicially, legally free, and that Satan is a trespasser in my body, and to take my stand and say, you leave here this minute, I've been paid for. He didn't just pay for your spirit and your sin. He paid for your body. He paid for your mind too. And if you'd believe him, healing would work mightily in you. Because Jesus paid us. Christ hath redeemed us, being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. The curse was redeemed by hanging on a tree. Well, who hung on the tree? Jesus. So when Jesus hung on the tree, sin and every consequence of sin, anything and everything sin did was paid for. That means anything that I do has been paid for. Anything that I need is now fully and completely supplied. Here's my receipt. Now, the word bondage is in Luke 13. I love this word. It means to tie or restrict. We catch somebody that we think have broken the law. We handcuff them. We lock them in the back of a car. They may put, when they take them to court, they usually have their feet chained together. We tie them, we restrict them, we bind them. They have no freedom. They have limitations. If they're declared guilty, they're put in prison, put in jail. And they make a phone call, if we say so. They eat what they're fed. They eat when we tell them to. And they're bound. They're tied and restricted. And that's what this particular word in verse 16 means. This is the woman who had the spirit of infirmity, been sick 18 years. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, tied, restricted. Who bound her?
Satan.
Who bound her? That's the word of the Lord. That's the word of heaven. That's the word of God. I didn't write it. I'm just reading it to you. Satan bound her 18 years. She'd been sick 18 years. And all 18 years it was the work of the devil. Because God sends good and perfect gifts. He doesn't send sickness and disease. You didn't get your disease from God. Now in the Lord's Prayer it says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, what's God's will on earth? We could go to Revelation and we'll find out there's no sickness up there. No curse up there. No pain up there. No sorrow up there. It's not there. God can't make you sick. He doesn't have any sickness. The thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life. So Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Now, did he do that successfully or not? So the work of the devil, sickness is the work of the devil. She was bound. Now, you know what sickness does. It binds you. It says you can't go to work today. Sorry. It says you can't leave your room today. You can't get out of bed today. Sickness begins to call the shots. It gives you orders. It tells you what you can and can't do. And then it says, you're going to have to stay in the hospital for weeks and weeks. And then if you keep listening, it says, and you're going to die. It binds, it limits, it restricts, it ties, it begins to command. So when they call you from the office and say, why aren't you coming to work today? You tell them, I am tied in knots. I'm listening to the devil. He's got me tied in knots and I can't come. That's the truth of it. But if while I'm there tied in knots, I raise my hands to heaven and begin to say, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. He paid for sin and anything sin was doing. Anything. Anything. And you can be free. You don't have to be bound, tied, restricted, uptight, strung out. Have you ever been uptight and strung out? You know what that means, or do I have to explain that to you? We all got that? But what? Jesus paid it all. Now it says he sent his word and healed us. He sent his word. Jesus is the living word, giving us the written word so that we'll know what the living word has done for us. And that word heals. So if I'm sick, the first thing I want to do is take healing scriptures and put those scriptures on the inside and meditate in those. And what we did always at our house was listen to the healing scriptures read by a minister. We have by three different ones. We have one that's set to music, which we really like. And we put that on. You know, sometimes you're too sick to do your own reading. It's not a sin to be sick. It's a sin to stay sick. You need to get up. You need to say, I know you paid. I know you paid. I know you paid. You need to put some effort. Would you like to go to heaven? And God said, that's the poorest effort I ever saw in my entire life. No, I want him to say, my, you tried. My, you worked at it. But we always listened to healing scriptures, and we raised our children on healing scriptures. And after our daughter got married, she got sun poisoning. My family does not do sunshine. Almost none of them. We just can't do sunshine. And she got sun poisoning. She called late one night. Wayne's eating a bowl of ice cream. And I said, do you have this? No, she didn't have any. See, we believe in medical remedies, but we know they're temporary. We know they can't do what God can do. We know they don't take God's place. And she didn't have anything I named. And I said, okay, we'll go to the store and we'll bring it to you in a little bit. Daddy's eating ice cream. So about 2 minutes later, she called. I answered the phone and she said, I can't find my healing scripture tape. Where is it? I can't find it. Because we raised them on that tape. If you stayed home from school at my house, you spent the day in bed listening to the healing scriptures. I'm just telling you, that's how it was. So I told Wayne, where's the healing scripture tape? Suzanne can't find hers. He threw his ice cream in the sink. He poured it down the drain. He said, we got to go. This is an emergency. Because he sent his word and healed me. The word, if I put the word in, the word begins to spread from my spirit into the body. And my body may not know it the first day or the second day. It may be fast, it may be slow, but by the Spirit, disease will go. But I have to put it in. I like to sing. I'm not a singer. I don't write music. I just take a tune. London Bridge is one of my favorite. Mary Had a Little Lamb. All diseases gone away, gone away, gone away. All diseases gone away. In my body, it can't stay. Jesus paid the price for me, price for me, price. Make them up. And I sing. Sing the word in, quote it in, read it in, put it in there. Why? Because you've been redeemed and your spirit needs to know you've been redeemed. The price for sin and every disease that comes through sin has been paid for and you are judicially free. There's a legal side and then there's an experiential side. What's legally done is only experiential if you believe it. It's legal. You know, someone can leave me $1 million, but if they don't tell me, it's legally mine. But I didn't get it because I didn't have that information. So I've got to do some things to take what's legally done and put it in my spirit. Let my spirit man. Your spirit man tells your mind. You're not trying to memorize or put it in your mind. I don't know about your mind, but mine has some limitations. It leaks. You have that problem with yours? You think, I know that. I know I remember that. I do. I remember that. I know I do. I remember that. I know I do. But I can't think of it. Thank God for the Holy Spirit who dwells on the inside, whose spirit of remembrance, who helps us to remember. I depend on him. We depend on him. We need him. Now, Jesus has paid. It's judicially, it's legally yours. You know they have those websites you can go to. It tells you all the money that's been left not claimed. Do you know about those websites on your computer? We go every now and then. We try everything. Cumby, spelled every name under the... I mean, any way you want to spell it. Corhee. Anything close, we're making a but it's never on there. It's never on there. But one day we found somebody on there that we thought we knew, and we called them. And they went to the website, and they said, I'm going to call and ask. I think it is us. Well, you know, God left you some things. He did some things for you. He freed you from the curse. The cross freed you from the curse. The remedy for sin is also the remedy for disease. The blood that was shed for sin is the blood that was shed for disease. Now, did you go see the Passion? I tell you the truth, I wouldn't have gone. The only reason I went is because a local backslider wanted to go and asked me would I go with her. And I'm thinking, I don't know why I wasn't interested. I didn't want to go. But anyway, I went. I loved it. I since bought me a copy. I got one at the house every now and then to look at it. When they had him in the garden, they beat him. By his stripes, you are healed. Not you will be. Judicially, legally, it's done. All you have to do is believe it, and it begins to work in your mortal flesh. They took a whip that had nine extensions on it, and they put glass and metal and anything they had on the end of that whip. So that when they cracked that whip across the back, that metal caught in the muscle, and then they ripped the muscle out. And if you read the legal documents, that was so severe that often the teeth fell out. You can't imagine being beaten until your teeth fall out. And they would just go, kah! I watched that on the Passion as he knelt there and they beat him. And then I watched him on the cross as they stabbed him in the side, put holes in his hands, and blood flowed forth. And I heard something in the Spirit I'll never forget. I heard these words in the Spirit. Which is most important, the early blood or the latter blood? Now, if I'm beating you to death, and I start at your house and I beat you in your yard, and then I drag you out in the woods and finish beating you up, which is more important to you, the blood in the yard or the blood in the woods? Huh? See, if I don't believe by his stripes I'm healed, I'm saying the early blood is insignificant, unimportant. It didn't accomplish anything. I'm negating the first shed blood and going on to the blood that was shed at the cross for sin. You see that, don't you? By his stripes, and that word is bruise, by his bruise, I am healed. And when I get sick like everybody else. When we go overseas, we look like a drugstore happening. And then we leave all those pills because most usually the overseas people need them, but we take everything. Now, if you travel with me, you can have any sickness and disease you want, I can help you. I am not going to get caught off guard. See, we believe in medicine, but I know medicine cannot do everything. In fact, it cannot do a lot of things. In fact, some things it's doing, you're not going to like. I figured that out all by myself. I was sick in the London airport. I mean, sick, 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 sick. Our plane was delayed. We had a 10:30 plane out, 5:30 in the afternoon. We're still waiting for it to come. It says something was wrong with the plane. Well, that never bothers me. Something wrong with the plane, I'll sit in the airport. I graduated from sitting 101, 201, 301, 401. I can sit. But I sat there long enough to have lunch and get food poisoning and get really, really sick. So they don't have pharmacists. They call them chemists. So I sent Wayne down to the chemist. But he looked at all the shelves. He didn't recognize any of the products. So he comes back empty-handed. Now, I am dying. And he comes back with nothing. Not even 2 aspirin. I found out when I traveled to keep the drugs in your purse. And when they won't let you keep them in your purse, my pockets. I have all kinds of pills rattling around in my pockets. I believe in medicine, but I found out it can't heal. Either the body likes the medicine, works with the medicine, or it dislikes the medicine, it won't work with the medicine. But it depends not on the medicine, but on the body. But when you have his word on the inside, that bondage begins to break up, and what's on the inside begins to flow to the outside, and you begin to amend. When you just realize, hey, it's been paid for, it's been paid for. So Wayne comes back empty-handed. I try to stay very calm. I said, calmly as I could, without throwing up on him. Wayne Cumby. Go back to that chemist. Tell him our symptoms. He said, I cannot do that. I said, you are a 60-year-old man. Now I'm losing my cool. I said, get down there. That man's heard every word in the book. You will not startle him. So he comes back with a bag and a prescription. But you know what? It only sort of worked, almost worked. It tried to work, but it couldn't completely work. Why is that? I don't have any idea. But when you raise your hands to heaven and you say, I know you paid. I know it's been paid for. I know it's, I have the receipt. I have the receipt. It's been paid for. And it's not a matter of I feel sick or I don't. You know, you can still feel sick. Your mother can say, you look awful. You know, friends will help you to die. If you want to die, ask a friend. They say, you look awful. Are you all right? Do you need to go home? I'll take you home. Can you drive yourself? They will help you to die. They will dig a hole and bury you. They will. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter how you look. It doesn't matter what they say. All that matters is your bill paid? Yes. Is it paid?
Yes.
So I want it to work immediately. I love immediately. Totally for immediately. However, the scripture says in one case, and he began to amend. That's not immediate. But it did happen. It came. Now the other word is in Acts 10:38. Look over there. It's oppression. The word oppression means to be overpowered. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Not oppressed of God. There isn't any sickness that comes from heaven. It came through sin. Sin and Satan and sickness are all tied together. They are a threefold cord that were broken by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Oppressed of the devil. We found out there's bondage of the devil. There's a curse from the devil. There's oppression. You're overpowered. Well, sickness does begin to overpower. But Jesus paid it all. Now, I don't know you, I just know me. And if I can put one foot in front of the other, I move. Because sick people are in bed and well people are going about their normal schedule. I was invited to a birthday party, and they said at the beginning, they called it, it's a very, very small party. And so I found it was real, real small. It was myself and one other person, two people. So I thought probably my appearance would be important. And I got up that morning really, really sick. I mean sick. I was supposed to eat at the sampan. The more I thought about that, what was that wonderful salad we used to always have there? Some kind of chicken something. The more I thought about it, the more, oh. I didn't have to smell the food, just think about it. And I thought, oh. But I thought, you know, I am healed. My price is paid. So I went. Long, narrow restaurant. Bathroom is there. They gave us the table up here. That's the truth. That's the truth. And I looked back there and I thought, oh, am I ever in trouble? But see, I've been paid for. It's been paid for. It's been paid for! My bill's paid! You know, if I go to a restaurant every now and then, somebody pays my bill, and the waitress comes and says, so-and-so at table 4 paid your bill. I don't say, oh, no, I choose to pay. Let me pay. I say, will you thank them for me? And I say, thank you, Father. My bill's paid. Thank you, my bill's paid. Thank you, my bill's paid. I didn't feel like it was paid. I felt like I am going to throw up. I don't know if I can say throw up in church or not, but I did. Can I say that? I ordered my usual salad. And when it came, the smell of it, I thought, oh. And I put my fork in it and took one mouthful when healing power went from the top of my head to the very soles of my feet. My bill was indeed paid for. All you have to know is your bill, your sickness and disease has been paid for. It didn't come from God. It didn't come from heaven. Sickness is of the devil. It came through sin, and sin came through the devil. The devil showed up in the garden and said, "Hath God said?" He still does that today. He says, "Has God said?" What did Myrtle say? He wants to get you all tangled up in words. And I said, "You sit down, I'm going to tell you what God said." He said, "By Jesus' stripes I was healed, and he sent his word and healed me. No weapon formed against me prosperous." He said, "Surely he bore my griefs, carried my sorrows. I did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities, chastised for my peace upon him. By his stripes I am healed." That's what God said. He said, "You memorize those." I didn't. I read them. And I read them. And I read them. And I read them. And when you read God's word, the might and the power of the word comes to the inside. And all I have to do is tap on the spirit that's in there. And those words of healing just float up. God didn't open my brain and pour them in there. He didn't open my spirit and pour them in there. I did. But when I began to pour them in, he began to rightly divide them, give me understanding. Oh, how wonderful that is. Give me understanding. And I can look the devil in the face and say, "You know, I am healed." He hates that. I go, "Ha, ha, 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 Satan, you can't win. Ha, 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 Satan, you can't win. Ha, 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 ha." It says it, famine and destruction. You should laugh. But I just can tell you, when you get to laughing at Satan, he leaves. He can't stand that. Can't stand that. Now raise your hand to heaven. Say, "I'm free.
I'm free.
Jesus paid for me.
Jesus paid for me."
Say, "Buddy, you're free.
You're free."
Now, if you have a particular illness, you can call it by name. If you have a headache tonight, say, "Headache, be gone in Jesus' name. I'm free. Kidney trouble, be gone. I'm free.
Be gone.
I'm free. Be gone. I'm free." Because Jesus paid the bill for me. Jesus paid the bill for me. Ha, 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 he, he, he. Ha, 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 he, he, he. Ha, 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 he, he, he. I'm free. I'm free. Now you ask your body and it's free tonight, you know what it's going to say to you? Yeah, you're not free. You feel awful. I say, "I'll do the talking here, thank you." Amen.